New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app.
Get 10 for $10 on select varieties of Kroger pasta, Starkist tuna pouches, or Powerade with your card. Then get tender Heritage Farm boneless chicken breasts for $2.49 a pound with your card and a digital coupon.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. You have a right to an attorney prior to or during any question. If you can't afford one, the court will appoint one for you. Do you understand your rights?
When the wolf is at your door, you run in zone.
Warning, this episode of Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast, may contain descriptions of acts of violence or that of a sexual nature and should be for people that are 18 years or older. Heed my warning, people. I do not get the facts of these cases off of the internet or from some television show. The facts I'm retelling you were presented to me by the victims of the crimes or the perpetrators who committed the crimes against the victims. My descriptions of the crime scenes, what I saw with my own two eyes. If you're going to get offended, please turn this podcast off now. Thank you. Hello, everybody, and welcome to this episode of Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast. As always, I'm your host, Woody Overton. Today, we're going to be continuing Scorch, the state versus Peterson, Scott Peterson, our friend. And y'all, now we're in the death penalty phase of the trial, and I read you the opening statement for the defense last time, and it is by Pat Harris. Now, I don't know why the court transcripts that I have had Pat Harris doing the prosecution's. They had him listed as Pat Harris was actually asking the questions for the prosecution side. Obviously, he wasn't, so that was a mistake. But Pat Harris is doing the trying to put the human face now on Scott Peterson. And he starts out by, it's on December the 1st, 2004. And he starts out with the questioning of Lee Peterson, who is Scott's dad. And I'm going to read Harris and then I'll say Peterson and that'll be Lee Peterson. Let's get with it. So Harris, good morning, Lee Peterson. Morning, Pat. Harris, be comfortable. We're going to be here for a while. I want you to tell the jury a little bit about your background. Actually, I'm going to ask you to tell them a lot about your background. When were you born? Peterson. I was born in 1939, May the 9th. Harris. Where were you born? Peterson. In a little town named Worthington, Minnesota. It was in the southwest corner of Minnesota, a farming community. Harris. Okay, tell me, what were your parents' names? Peterson. My dad's name was Arthur. My mom's name was Murray. Harris. Are they both deceased? Peterson. They are both deceased. Harris. When did your mom die? Peterson. Mom died in 1970. Harris. Your father? Peterson. 1986. Harris. I want to start with your mother. If you would, give us kind of a thumbnail sketch of her background, where she came from, kind of a little bit about her. Peterson. Sure. She was the eighth daughter of a family who immigrated from one of the Baltic countries. I believe Lithuania. My grandmother actually made the trip over here from Lithuania on her own, all by herself, at age 15. She came because she had the promise of a job when she got to Minneapolis. And that's why she came. Harris. Where'd your mom grow up? In Minneapolis? Peterson. In Minneapolis, on the north side. Harris. Did she grow up wealthy? Peterson. No, far the same from it. That's a very lower middle class neighborhood, full of immigrants. And there were eight children. And hearing her talk about it, I recall it was a very tough childhood. Harris. Did she actually work before she met your father as a factory worker? Is that correct? Peterson. Yeah, she worked at the Munsonware plant. They made underclothing, things like that. Harris. What about your father? Where was he from? Peterson. Well, he was born in Minnesota in another little farming community by the name of Walnut Grove, which just happens to be where the series Little House on the Prairie was set. And he was the last of 12 children of Norwegian extraction. I believe it was my great-grandfather. He had moved from Norway. Harris. Did he grow up on the farm? Peterson. For part of his life, yeah. Harris. What did he, as he grew older, what did he choose to do for a living? Peterson. My grandfather had at least two farms, and I guess he wasn't much of a farmer. And finally, they moved to St. Paul area where he could find work. And my dad actually went to work as a Western Union delivery man. Back in those days, he would tell me the story of he would ride a bike around St. Paul delivering telegrams. That was rapid communication in those days. And he told me stories of being chased by dogs and bit by dogs. Didn't like dogs very much, but that was probably his first job. Harris. And did he go on to do something else after that? Peterson. Yeah, he went to work servicing typewriters for Royal Typewriter. That was an old manual typewriter in those days. Fairly large company. And he had a job. They would send him out to repair typewriters at various offices around town. I think St. Paul and Minneapolis. Harris. Now, other than I think a brief time we would talk about, that's the job I believe he held for over 40 years? Peterson. No, just until I think his early 20s, he went on his own, formed his own business. Not a large business or anything. I think it was just himself, actually. But he would do essentially the same thing. He would repair and sell typewriters. Harris. How'd your parents meet? Peterson. Well, they met through mutual friends at a dance. That's what we were told. Harris. And at this time, was your dad already, was he self-employed by this point, or was he still working for Royal? Peterson. He was, I think he was still employed by this typewriter company, Royal Typewriter. Harris. Was he making a lot of money at this business? Peterson. No, it was the kind of business where they assigned him a territory. So he had like Eastern or Western Wisconsin. And he would go over there with my mom and my brother, who was 2 years older than me. And he would load up his car with typewriter parts and ribbons. And he would go out and they would rent like a little house on a motor court or something. And he would go out every day and go to schools and businesses and see if they had any typewriters that needed repairs or any parts or ribbons they needed for their machines. And he told me a good day he'd make $4 or $5 and they would eat pretty well that night. If it wasn't such a good day, they wouldn't eat so well. So it was kind of a hand-to-mouth existence, but they were happy at the time. They told me they were very happy. Harris, you mentioned you have an older brother. Peterson, yeah. Harris, what's his name? Peterson, Joel. Harris, Joel, and how much older? Peterson, 2 years older. Harris, so do you have any younger siblings? Peterson, no, just the two of us. Harris, now, for most of your young life, where were you growing up? What city were you at that point? Peterson, I grew up in St. Paul until I was probably 8 years old. And then we moved to a little called White Bear Lake, just maybe 8 to 10 miles north of St. Paul. Harris, did your father continue in his career, or did he do something else at that point? Peterson, well, we moved because during the war years, my dad had a little grocery store on the corner near where we lived, and he sold things like milk and cheese and butter, called a dairy store in those days, bread and sodas and candy, that type of thing. Kind of a convenience store nowadays. Harris, an early 7-Eleven? Peterson, yeah, exactly. It was great because we could go bring our friends in once a day and they could have a candy bar or ice cream, whatever they wanted. I have fond memories of that. And during the war years, my folks managed to save up some money. And I think they had the store for about 4 years. Harris, I'm sorry, how many years? Peterson, about 4 years, three or four, and they managed to save some money. And we had a rental, the home where we lived at the time, and the people who owned it decided they wanted to sell the house that we rented. So my folks decided, well, we would build a house. Harris, well, what happened to that house? Peterson, that's kind of in the, well, when the family got derailed. My dad went out and bought a lot and hired a contractor. And there wasn't much lumber in those days because it was right after the war years. And so this contractor encouraged him to go buy an old farm, tear down the barn and the house, and use that lumber to build the new house. And so Dad, he did that. And then they actually did build the house. They dug a foundation. In Minnesota, you have basements, so you have to dig down. And unbeknownst to the contractor, there was a very high water table. So when the house was finished and it started raining, the basement actually filled up about 3 or 4 feet of water and no way to get it out of there. So the house was essentially useless. And my folks lost the house. They lost the farm that they had bought for the lumber. And just went totally broke. Harris, so they essentially lost everything. Peterson, they lost everything, yeah.
You want to set your child up for success? Is your child struggling with a specific subject, or do they need a challenge to keep them engaged? IXL Learning is an online learning program that enriches your homeschool curriculum. It offers practice in math, English, language arts, science, and social studies, and adapts to each child, meeting them at their personal level. As a homeschool parent, I can tell you that IXL has been life-saving for my son, WL. He uses IXL every day and allows me to tailor his learning experience based on his specific skills, not just his grade level. If he needs support, IXL finds his current level and helps him build up to where he needs to be. And in areas where he's advanced, IXL propels him forward without any setbacks. What I love most is that IXL uses visuals in its questions and lessons, which really helps WL learn math and science better since he is a visual learner. The interactive practice problems and educational games make learning fun and engaging. With IXL, school is a positive, fun experience. WL enjoys earning awards in the educational games. IXL is trusted by 15 million students worldwide and has proven to improve performance in over 75 scientific research studies. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. Real Life Real Crime listeners can receive an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to access the most effective learning program at the best price. Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? I know Sydney was, and if you're a woman, you're definitely not alone. There are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living rent-free in our environment right now, found in our food, water, and even in our skincare products. These disruptors can wreak havoc on our hormones. Believe me, before Hormone Harmony, I watched Cindy suffer. Not anymore. Hormone Harmony's formula, made only with herbal ingredients, have reduced Cindy's hormonal symptoms, and it helps women of all ages. Then there are the natural hormonal changes our bodies face, such as menopause. While these processes are part of life, they don't have to be uncomfortable. The good news is that you don't have to suffer through it any longer. Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts known as adaptogens, designed to help the body cope with stressors, including those chaotic hormonal fluctuations that can disrupt your daily life. Whether it's PMS symptoms like irritability and cravings, or menopause symptoms such as hot flashes and night sweats, Hormone Harmony can help with it all. Happy Mammoth, the creator of Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to improving women's lives by using only high-quality, science-backed ingredients. They make no compromises on quality, ensuring that you receive the best support possible. This isn't just a supplement. It has become a phenomenon. Women are talking about it everywhere, with a bottle of Hormone Harmony sold every 24 seconds. And the most important benefit, women express feeling like themselves again, a sentiment echoed in over 30,000 positive reviews. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code RLRC at checkout. That's happymammoth.com. Don't forget to use the code RLRC for 15% off today. Harris, well, how old were you? Peterson, I was probably 7 or 8. Harris, what happened after then? What did you do? Peterson, my dad wasn't working during this period when they were building the house, because he would try to help out in the construction of it. But when we were totally broke, so we had to move out of our rental, the house, and we lived in kind of a series of, for lack of a better word, they were just about shacks. They were old resort homes, cabins. They weren't used during the off season, and they were just, you know, total disrepair and not a place you'd want to live. My mom, of course, was very upset about this, having to move out of the home we did have, and she cried a lot. She was very, very unhappy and made, well, she didn't make everybody unhappy, but I guess everybody was unhappy at the time. It was a very trying time. Harris, these were, when you say shacks, these were houses. Did they even have running water? Peterson, no, they didn't. They were tourists. I think they were old tourist resorts that had fallen into disrepair and were then rented to individual families for a year or 6 months or 2 weeks, whatever they could negotiate. And we lived there for probably in the first house, probably for 3 months. And it was during the summer, and my folks finally found another rental home in White Bear Lake, which was small. It was small. Didn't have any indoor plumbing. Had no water. My dad would bring water home in these. I don't know if you folks are old enough to remember them. They're milk cans, metal milk cans, about this big. Judge, proceed by question and answer. Harris, sure. Harris,
Did your father eventually find employment or go back to his previous job?
Peterson. Yeah, he started back in the typewriter business. Harris.
And after he started back in the typewriter business, did things get much better?
Peterson. Not really. We did finally move to a home that had indoor plumbing after a year in the second home, actually the smaller home, but it had a toilet and it had running water. Harris.
Now, were you going to school at this time?
Peterson. Yeah, I was. Harris.
In these years when you were approximately how old?
Peterson. Probably 8. Though, or 9 through 13. Harris.
When you think back to those years and when you think back to growing up, how were you as a student?
Peterson. I was a good student at first. I wasn't a happy student. I was unaware. I was aware of how poor we were. And Harris.
Did you have a problem with other kids?
Peterson. Yeah. We didn't have nice clothes. We were clean, but we had kind of tattered and worn out clothes. And I felt inferior to other kids. And I wouldn't bring any kids home because of our little house. Harris.
You talked about your mother was very sort of upset about the situation. How was your father?
Peterson. My dad was a sweet man. He was a very nice man, very loving, although not physically. I knew he loved me, my brother, and wife, and my mom, but he wasn't overly ambitious. He didn't have much business acumen. He thought the family was doing okay because we had a roof and food to eat, and my mom was very dissatisfied, you know, with her. Harris.
At some point, did she kind of take matters in her own hands?
Peterson. Yeah. When I was 12, she just said she was just tired, couldn't live that away. I remember her and Dad would get in the spats. And so she started cleaning homes for wealthy people who lived. My dad would drive her to these places, and she would clean the houses for them. Sometimes I'd go along. It was a real treat to go along, because particularly one family, there was a boy about my age, and he had tons of toys, all the goodies. And he let me dress up in his cowboy suit and just experience things I've never seen before. Harris.
At some point, as you got older, did you start working as well?
Peterson. Yeah, I did. I remember asking my mom, "Mom, I need a baseball mitt." And she said, "Well, we don't have any money. You better go make some." I said, "How?" She said, "Well, go ask the neighbors if they want their grass cut or their leaves raked or whatever you can do." So I did that. And during the summers, I was kind of an all-around gardener, cutting grass, raking leaves, pulling weeds. And in the winter, I'd shovel snow. It was a good life lesson. It taught me if you work for things, you get your baseball mitt. Harris.
This is something you passed on to your own children?
Peterson. I did. I always tried to teach them the value of work. Harris.
As you got older, you became a teenager. At some point, you saved up enough money for a big purchase?
Peterson. Yeah, I did. I bought a car. I guess I was 15.
Harris. How did this affect your life?
Peterson. It ruined my grades because I worked at a supermarket
and I didn't have much time to study. I didn't have a lot of interest in studying. All I wanted to do was wax that car and keep it running. It was probably a poor choice at the time to buy that car. Harris. Now, your brother was also, he was 2 years older. Is that right? Peterson. Yes. Harris. And at some point, what year did you end up graduating from high school? Peterson. 57. Harris. Did things improve a little bit as far as financially? Your parents, with your mother working and so forth? Peterson. Yeah. When my mom started working, after 2 or 3 years, my folks were able to actually buy a home not far from where we had rented. It was a modest home with no garage, but it was new, and we were really proud of it. It was someplace we could bring our friends, and the whole family was just really very, very happy about it. Harris. After you graduated from high school, what did you do? Peterson. I went in the Navy. I joined the Navy Reserve while I was in high school, and that required going to reserve meetings once a week. Then after high school, I served 2 years of active duty. Harris. Where'd you do that? Peterson. Where? Harris. Where? Peterson. First, they sent me to Great Lakes, Illinois for boot camp, then Washington, D.C., where they kind of group everybody, and then they figure out where they fit in best. And they sent me to San Diego to meet a ship. Harris. Is that the first time you had been to San Diego? Peterson. Yeah, and I met this, it was an aircraft carrier, the Hornet, and actually wasn't in port when I got there. So I was assigned all these other temporary duties, like working at the commissary, stuffing grocery bags, which I had done in high school. Harris. How long were you in San Diego before the ship came in? Peterson. About 3 months. Harris. Once you got on the ship, what did they have you doing? Peterson. They started me out on the deck crew, which is, it's a gunnery division where you essentially chip paint and you repaint everything and swab decks. Pretty classic idea of a sailor. Harris. At some point, did that change? Peterson. Yeah, I didn't like that kind of work, so I started looking around. And there was an opening in the navigation department, and I was able to get them to take me on. Harris. What did that involve? Peterson. It was very sort of an elite division in the aboard ship, because it's a small, probably 15 people in the division, mostly officers and petty officers, and a few seamen like I was. And we got the ship where it was supposed to go, and back again, and did all the special handling for docking and refueling and reprovisioning. Harris. Now, did you stay in the Navy after the 2 years were up? Peterson. No, I decided. Harris. Something changed in your life at that point? Peterson. I was married by that time. Harris. You got married while you were in the Navy? Peterson. I got married about 5 months before the end of my enlistment. Yeah. Harris. Who'd you marry? Peterson. My high school sweetheart. I'd known her for 2 years in high school. Name was Mary. Harris. Where's she come from? Peterson. She came from Sicily. She actually immigrated when she was 11 with her family. Harris. So did you go back to Minnesota to be with her, or what did you do? Peterson. Yeah, I couldn't wait to get home after 2 years in the Navy and went home and started going to school. Harris, what were you going to school for? What were you? Peterson, I had an interest in electronics because of navigation. We operated LORAN, which is, and it's a navigational tool, and radar and sonar. It was just kind of neat. So I thought I would try to make a career in electronics. So I enrolled at Northwestern University in Minneapolis. It's 2 years, very condensed electronics course. Harris, were you living at home at this time? Peterson, we were living in the, we remodeled the basement of my mother-in-law's home. My dad and some uncles helped remodel it and made it livable, and they let us move in there. Harris, was that a good suggestion? Peterson, it was good for the rent, but it wasn't so good for me. We were too close to our in-laws. Not that we didn't get along, but it was kind of a tight situation. Harris, now, I know we won't go through them. I know you had a series of jobs in electronics and different things. You were working for Honeywell, is that right, at one point? Peterson, yeah, I worked at a company called Control Data Evenings all the time that I was in school. I worked in anywhere from 4 to 6, 8 hours a night. Harris, you went on to work at 3M? Peterson, yeah. After I graduated, I got a job in the research lab at 3M Company in St. Paul. Harris, at some point, did you get in the sales business? Peterson, yeah, I did. That was after my stint with my dad in the typewriter business. Harris, what had you done with your dad? Peterson, my dad by that time had an, coincidentally, I was working for 3M Company. My dad had a contract with 3M Company to service their manual typewriters. And the people at 3M actually approached my dad and said they would like him to do the electric typewriters, which were just kind of coming onto the scene.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app.
Get 10 for $10 on select varieties of Kroger pasta, Starkist tuna pouches, or Powerade with your card. Then get tender Heritage Farm boneless chicken breasts for $2.49 a pound with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And Dad didn't know how, so he approached me with, and he thought it might be a good opportunity. So I got some training, and we extended the contract from the manual typewriters to the electrics at 3M Company. And I started working with my dad for about a year. Harris,
you got out that get into trucking, the sales and trucking business?
Peterson, yeah. After that, I got into the trucking business. Harris,
why did you choose to go into that sort of area? What interested you in that?
Peterson, I think it was mostly because of the, they did a lot of socializing, lots of lunches, and a lot of, you could play golf with the customers, go to golf tournaments, anything to promote the business with this trucking firm. Harris,
well, let's talk about that. You mentioned that you got to go play golf with the customers. Was it at this point in your life that golf sort of became an overriding hobby?
Peterson, yeah. When I was about 25, I started playing. There was a fella at 3M who played, and he got me started. It was kind of an instant love. This was a good way to pursue it and still make a living. I didn't just play golf. You know, this was that was a very small part of it. mostly it was pounding the pavement, looking for people who wanted to ship things. And then you convince them to ship with your trucking firm rather than somebody else's. Harris. So is golf a good social outlet for meeting customers, taking guys out?
Peterson. It was fun. Yeah.
Harris. It became your passion.
Peterson. Golf. Yes.
Harris. Is that a passion that continues today?
Peterson. Sure. Not of the last couple of years, but until that time.
Harris. Before we talk about what ended up taking you to San Diego, I know at this point in your life, and your wife had children. Is that right?
Peterson. Yes.
Harris. If you would, just list the children, your children's names, they're in order, when they were born. All right, that's good. Now, the first three you listed, Susan, Mark, and Joe, the reason I want you to list this is because when you get into the marriage of Jackie, there are children involved. So you had Susan and Mark and Joe with your first wife. Is that correct?
Peterson. That's right.
Harris. Okay, were they born in close proximity to one another?
Peterson. Yes. Susan was born in 1960, Mark in 62, and Joe in 63.
Harris. These were all while you were still in Minnesota, is that right?
Peterson. Yes.
Harris. Then Scott is the one child that you had that came from your marriage with Jackie. Is that right?
Peterson. Yes.
Harris. At some point, did you make the decision to leave Minnesota?
Peterson. Yeah. 1967.
Harris. Why?
Peterson. Climate. I thought I could do better for my family out there. Minnesota was very conservative at the time. You didn't get promoted until you were, if I wanted to be a terminal manager at a trucking firm, for example, would probably have to be 40 or 50 years old. And I was 27 at the time, and I wanted to move. And it was a combination of the weather. We both liked San Diego. We had visited there, my first wife and I, and thought it would be nice to be on our own. Kind of an adventure.
Harris. Did you have a job waiting for you there?
Peterson. I did, with the same trucking firm I worked for in St. Paul.
Harris. That work out?
Peterson. No. When I got there, I found out it was a very small terminal, and there were probably three routes, which means you have three drivers and a manager, and he had a budget. And he decided he couldn't spend the money on a salesman. He decided he would try to do the selling himself.
Harris. So what'd you do?
Peterson. I called on all the other trucking firms. I got a job with a major carrier, Consolidated Freightways. They were just building a new terminal. It was a much better situation. We had probably a dozen employees, two salesmen. It was kind of a thriving company.
Harris. So I want to jump just a little bit to put this in perspective. You moved to San Diego with your family. And if I understand correctly, for about the next 7, 8, 9 years, you're involved in the sales business or the trucking companies. Is that a fair statement?
Peterson. Yeah.
Harris. During that period, did something as far as your marriage change after a couple of years of being in San Diego?
Peterson. Yeah. We started talking about a divorce. We just weren't getting along. And there was a certain amount of, rancor that spills over to the kids. And it's not good for, we could see it wasn't good for them to be, witnessed their parents not getting along and really was no reason to stay together. So we got divorced. Harris.
And after divorce, did you continue to see your kids?
Peterson. Yeah, a lot. At the time, I was going to. I mean, I started going to school at Mesa College. Harris.
This was in addition to your job. You were also going to college, taking college courses.
Peterson. Yeah, I became eligible for the GI Bill due to my time in the service. So I took advantage of that to get a degree in transportation management, which was the field I was in. And this college was maybe 3 blocks from the kids' home. So I'd stop there. I went to school probably 3 nights a week. And just about every night, I would stop and see the kids, take them out for a hamburger, or just play in the street with them, throwing a football around. Some way just to see them in addition to the weekends. I had a great deal of guilt over, you know, not being there for them every night, tucking them in bed and that kind of thing. So I tried to make up for it by being there a lot. And I was there a lot. Harris.
You mentioned you were at Mesa College. Is that right?
Peterson. Uh-huh. Harris.
While you were at Mesa College, did you meet somebody?
Peterson. I met Jackie. Harris.
How did that happen?
Peterson. I was in history class. We were sitting next to each other. I guess there was some attraction. And we started taking coffee breaks together. Eventually, wound up getting married in 1971. Harris.
Still married today?
Peterson. Oh, yeah. 33 years. Harris.
How would you describe your relationship?
Peterson. Wonderful. She's the best thing that ever happened to me. She's just a wonderful, sweet woman. She's such a great disposition. I'm the grouch, and she wakes up happy every morning. She's just so pleasant. Just a wonderful person. Harris.
At some point, did you decide to sort of strike it out on your own a little bit as far as business-wise?
Peterson. Yeah. In 1975, I started my Creighton business in San Diego. Harris.
What was it called?
Peterson. San Diego Creighton. Harris.
What exactly is San Diego Creighton? That is a business you still own, right?
Peterson. Yes. Harris.
You started this in 1975.
Peterson. Uh-huh. Harris.
What exactly is San Diego Creighton? What does that do?
Peterson. We build custom wood shipping crates. Typical application might be for a mainframe computer. We build a wooden crate with shock mounts so that there is no damage to it, and then interior foam. It's all custom design. Lots of our work is ongoing, you know, with particular companies. They will have 3 or 4 different models of units, and we'll provide the shipping crates for them. We'll go on sites and create things for people that don't have facilities. And we do some household type of things, rocking chairs, TV sets. Harris.
So if I had something like a large, valuable vase of something I want to send overseas, I would come to you?
Peterson. I hope you would, sure. Harris.
From its inception, well, first of all, did you stop working at the trucking company or did you continue to do both?
Peterson. My last job with the trucking company was as terminal manager. It was a place called REA Express. I was there for 4 years and they went bankrupt and I could see it coming because I was the manager and I was paying the bills from COD, the money, which is cash. And when something comes in, you take it out on delivery, collect cash. That's the only way we could pay our bills. The main office didn't have any money. We went first to Chapter 11 and then finally went under. And so I bought some tools and a truck and kind of was, I was looking forward to the future. I knew this REA wasn't going to last. And so I kind of had a head start in that way. Harris,
did you decide at some time to totally leave REA, devote your entire time to San Diego Creighton?
Peterson, yeah, wasn't my entire time when I was doing a startup because I worked full-time for another company during the day. And I had the kind of hours where I could start early and get off late. Still in the trucking business. And then I would work on my fledgling Creighton company after my regular job until it started generating enough money for us to live on. Harris,
did that happen fairly quickly, the Creighton company?
Peterson, no. It was a matter of two and a half years before it really turned the corner. And businesses are hard things. You have to nurture them and be very persistent. But it finally got going, and it did very, very well after the initial 3 or 4 years. Harris.
Now, when you met Jackie, did she have a dress shop, or was that later on she got the dress shop?
Peterson. That was later on. That's about the time she was pregnant with Scott. We bought a little dress shop in La Jolla, selling ladies, mostly designer samples. We got her stock from the Garment District in Los Angeles, and we would drive up there about once every 2 weeks and fill the back end of the car with what we thought were really neat designer dresses that ladies would buy. That was the shop. Harris.
At some point, did she leave the shop and come to work at San Diego Creighton with you?
Peterson. Yeah. After a couple of years at the dress shop. Harris.
What does she do at San Diego Creighton?
Peterson. She was the bookkeeper, took care of receivables, payables, collections, everything, insurance. Harris.
She continued to do that until this day?
Peterson. She's not really able to now because of her bronchial condition. She can't be in, there's a lot of sawdust in the air, so it's not a healthy atmosphere, but she worked there probably up until 4 years ago. Harris.
You mentioned eventually that the company did sort of take off. When did that happen?
Peterson. Real early in the 80s, it really took off and did very, very well. And we expanded into a larger building, a much larger building. It went from probably 4,000 square feet to 12,000 and then 15,000. There was really no trick in it. All you had to do was go out and get the orders and do what you said you'd do. That person wanted delivery on Thursday, you deliver it on a Thursday. And if they needed something special, you did that for them. And we did very well. Harris.
When you married Jackie and the two of you bought a house, did she have a child with her as well?
Peterson. Yes, John.
Harris. What was his name?
Peterson. John. Harris.
Would you just put that on the other side there? How old was John when the two of you were married?
Peterson. He was three and a half. Harris.
So you basically raised him. Is that a fair statement?
Peterson. Yes. Harris.
Where were you living at the time when you first married?
Peterson. First married, we lived in San Diego near a golf course. Balboa Park area. We rented a home.
Harris. Where'd you go from there?
Peterson. From there, we bought a little home in the southeast, kind of southeast area, kind of a starter home. It was something we could afford to get started. Harris.
Did you eventually move out to Ranch of Santa Fe?
Peterson. Yeah, but There were a few moves in between there, too. Harris.
You just had a lot of progression of light, sort of. Each one a little nicer than the other.
Peterson. Yeah, exactly. Rancho Santa Fe was kind of our dream. It's a very nice area north of San Diego. And Harris.
Do you need some water?
Judge. You want some water? Peterson. Thank you.
Harris. So if I understand the story right, by the time the mid-80s came around, you had built a very comfortable life for you and your children. Is that a fair statement?
Peterson. Yeah, that's a fair statement. Y'all, I got to stop this for this part. This is scorched in itself. The guy's on trial for his life. This is death penalty phase, and I get it. The defense doesn't have anything to lose. What they're trying to do is paint a human face on Scott Peterson, all right? Meaning, I mean, they're talking to his daddy, right? I mean, where he grew up, where his parents are from, and about the houses they lost and all different jobs. But who gives a fuck, right? Scott Peterson murdered Lacey and Connor. He's been found guilty. What do you think all this has to do with anything? Scorched. Because if I'm on the jury, I'm going to be pissed off. I'm having to sit here after all these months listening to this. And I know the prosecution knows it's scorched because they haven't ejected it all. They are letting this Pat Harris wear this fucking jury out with bullshit. But I want you to hear it because, I mean, it's on the verge of being ridiculous. I mean, this whole hour almost, I've been reading them going back and forth. He's only mentioned Scott once, right? Scorched. And that's scorched on the defense side. And when we get done, I'm going to play you something from the latest. I'm really worried about the DNA coming back on this tape, but you'll get all that. I'm looking at it. We got to get through. On the next episode, it'll be all about Scott. All right. I think the one thing the defense is trying to do is say, well, you got divorced. Wouldn't it be natural for Scott to get divorced? And then that kind of in your DNA and you seeking a better life or whatever. You didn't kill your ex-wife and all that stuff. And you visited your kids and maybe he's trying to lead up and thinking that Scott's going to be a good, saying that Scott's going to, would have been a good dad if he hadn't murdered his kid. But anyway, love and appreciate each and every one of y'all. Patreon convicts, you get in the commercial free early releases. I'm going to put up all these documents. Also, if you want to read them, you can. But hashtag justice for Haley, new episodes out. It came out yesterday by the time you hear this. Y'all go listen to it. Patreon convicts, go watch the videos. It's unbelievable. And remember that everything he says, not everything, but almost everything he says about what happened that day that Haley was murdered, I'm going to be able to disprove. I have the proof. So in LOPA, Louisiana Organ Procurement Agency, you know, it's my jam. Y'all sign up to be an organ donor. LOPA is a nonprofit, and they help these families, both the recipients and the donors, through the process and afterwards. And they're just an awesome group of people. And you don't have to be a lifer from Louisiana to sign up. You could be a lifer from the Congo. Go to lopa.org and pull up the questionnaire. It's like a 2-minute thing. Type in and they'll help you become an organ donor and give the gift of life and sight and all that great stuff. And I love and appreciate each and every one of y'all. Let's rock 2025. And I'm Woody Overton, your host of Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast. Until next time or ever, don't let me catch you down on Murder Bayou. Peace.
You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. You have a right to an attorney prior to or during any question. If you can't afford one, the court will appoint one for you. You understand your rights.
at Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.